On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, the micro-redress scheme will open for applications on next Monday, June 29th. We'll speak to the chair of Donegal County Council's micro-redress committee. Tributes have been paid to the staff at the laboratory at Letterkenny University Hospital. They've carried out over 6,000 COVID-19 tests in the 100 days since the pandemic began. No new deaths, meanwhile, have been announced today in Northern Ireland. The government has been warned against opening up international travel, with a leading immunologist saying it wouldn't be worth the risk if it were to consider changes. Meanwhile, masks are set to become mandatory on public transport of next week. And later in the bulletin, we have sports news with Oisin. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation that the micro-redress scheme will open for applications on next Monday, June 29th. Donegal County Council's Redress Committee met this afternoon to discuss the scheme, with officials saying they're ready to accept applications from Monday. A special portal is being launched on the Donegal County Council website. Applications can be made online. The committee's chair, Councillor Martin McDermott, says the council has worked to ensure that the application process is as streamlined as possible.
By this evening, there will be a new website for the MICA redress. People can access that through www.donegalcoco.ie/defectiveblocks. The council have been working very, very hard on this over the last 2 or 3 months to try to make the process as streamlined as possible. You can apply online. There's an avenue there to do your application online. The process is pretty much like any other grant process. Your proof of where you live, proof of address, the normal types of things that anyone would do. It's nothing overcomplicated. The most important part is that this is engineer-led. You must have one of the registered engineers doing the work as part of your house. They will then be taking on the process of getting the test done and getting your application done. Anyone that does think that they do have MICA, get an engineer involved as soon as possible and start the process, because the quicker we can get these applications onto the council now, the quicker we can get them turned around and out, and the quicker we can start to fix the houses.
And in terms of that turnaround, how long do you think it's going to take from the opening up of applications on Monday to the actual distribution of funding and the starting of work?
That's down to now to the person that's putting on the applications. If they have their engineer in place, they have their core samples and tests done, and that's all sent onto the council. I would see a 2 to 3 week turnaround in relation to the council to get back to them with confirmation then as to whether they can start work at their house, and then they'll have to get a builder on board after that. So, I mean, it's going to take probably a couple of months from now before people will be starting to actually physically work at their houses, but it's back to the people to get the applications in, to get the builders in place and get the engineers in place. And as quick as that can happen, Donegal County Council is certainly set up to take the applications and certainly set up to turn that around as quickly as possible.
And that was Councillor Martin McDermott. More detail on that process available on our website, highlandradio.com. Also, a link to the Donegal County Council special portal, and the address of that special portal is donegalcoco.ie/defective-concrete-blocks. That's donegalcoco.ie/defective-concrete-blocks. And there is a link to that portal on our website as well. Tributes have been paid to the staff at the laboratory at Letterkenny University Hospital. Figures published by SAILTA this evening show that after 100 days of COVID-19 testing, almost 6,200 samples have been tested in Letterkenny, with results currently reported within 24 hours of receipt. The laboratory is carrying out testing on swabs taken from patients in the hospital and HSC staff, as well as testing samples taken from members of the public referred to community testing hubs by their GPs. It's been confirmed that at the start of the pandemic, Letterkenny also provided testing for other hospitals within the SAILTA group for a short period, while those laboratories were scaling up their testing capacity. Management say in order to operate to this level, the staff working at the laboratory worked extra shifts, longer hours, and had the support of two recent retirees from the microbiology department who returned to work. In Northern Ireland, no new deaths were reported this afternoon in relation to COVID-19. Just one new case has been confirmed. The total number of cases north of the border is now 5,724. The death toll remains at 547. The government has been warned that fully opening up international travel would not be worth the risk. The Cabinet is meeting this evening in Dublin Castle to approve moving to phase 3 of the easing of lockdown measures. That will happen on Monday. It's expected as part of that process, face masks will become mandatory on public transport. While it's likely that air bridges with other countries that have a handle on the virus will be announced, allowing some foreign travel this year, infectious diseases expert Professor Paddy Madden has warned against a full opening of international air travel.
It'll be a test for our contact tracing, the contact tracing platforms that have been put in place, but I think that is the major concern. And I think that if we just completely open up our airports to all comers, I think that the risk, in my view, would be a risk that's not worth taking because of the potential consequences of widespread geographical community spread of this COVID-19 unwittingly by people coming into the country.
A private bus operator in Donegal is hoping for more clarity from government after that meeting over when they can get back on the road. There are major fears within the sector locally that it could be this time next year before services are fully restored to pre-COVID levels. James McGinley is owner of John McGinley Buses. He says private bus companies have been among the hardest hit by the COVID-19 crisis. He says the government must recognise that they are a lifeline for many in rural Donegal.
People depend very much on private coach operators. Our own service to Dublin, you know, from West Donegal through to Letterkenny and from the Inish Own Peninsula to Dublin. It's the only direct connection to Dublin, and it's the same with the other operators, Fianna Donegal to Galway and Patrick Gallagher to Belfast and all of these services, and then the local ones, Mangan and Gallagher's. And so it is a lifeline to rural Donegal, more so than any other part of the country, I suppose, when you're in Dublin or in the larger towns. There are other options, but not in Donegal. The options are not as much. We're following always in the footsteps of Dublin and I suppose the urban travel, but you know, I suppose the rural and travel right around the country will be exactly the same. And again, this announcement, I mean, our representative body, the Coach Tourism and Transport Council, they have been lobbying government hard for changes and for support for the industry. And they have been meeting with the Department of Transport and government on a weekly basis. We're hoping for maybe a little bit more clarification on you know, the announcements. At the moment, we're only just reading the same as what everybody is in the press. So I think there's a cabinet meeting today, which we hope to get a little bit more clarity after today's meeting.
And that was Joseph McGinley there. 4 in 10 people would be very uncomfortable with the idea of going to a pub if social distancing was cut to 1 metre. New CSO figures suggest 41% of people also don't like the idea of visiting a hairdresser or barber because of COVID-19. 82% indicated they'd be very uncomfortable attending a large outdoor event. 57% of parents felt the same way about sending their child to a creche. The Bluestack Special Needs Foundation says the children who use its service have been heavily impacted by the COVID crisis and they need urgent guidance from government as to how they can get back up and running. The voluntary organisation based in Donegal Town is run predominantly by parents of children with special needs and professionals who work in the disability sector. In a normal summer, the organisation would run a 6-week summer camp for children, and while they do plan to proceed with a camp this year, it will be limited in its scope. Wendy McCarry is the foundation's manager.
We're not even at that point of a parent being in a position to say, okay, this is what's being provided. These are the guidelines. This is the clarity that I'm seeking. And now I have a personal choice as to whether I want to engage in this process or not. We have no guidance. I mean, the guidance that came down to the school from the Department of Education suggests that there is no need for PPE. No need for PPE unless a child is being attended to for intimate cleaning or if they have the actual COVID symptoms. Now, we're being told today that we need to wear masks if we're on a train, yet the schools have been told there is no need for PPE for our most vulnerable children.
Meanwhile, Donegal TD Piers Doherty today claimed the July provision scheme has been mishandled by Education Minister Joe McHugh, and this has had disastrous effects for families in Donegal. Deputy Doherty says he's received numerous phone calls and emails from parents following the news overnight that Little Angels School in Letterkenny will not now be in a position to provide July provision. This, he says, is a huge blow for parents who had their expectations raised by the minister last month and who have children with severe, profound disabilities who require the continual social interaction and routine that July provision provides. The COVID-19 Donegal Community Response Forum was contacted 709 times between March and the beginning of June, according to a report circulated to councillors in Donegal this week. The forum was one of several established across the country at the beginning of the coronavirus crisis in the belief that a dedicated governance structure would ensure a more coordinated approach to managing the effects of the emergency at a community level. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The Community Response Forum membership includes Donegal County Council, the HSC and Garda Síochána, Údaráis na Gaeltachta, Tusla, local development companies, the Red Cross, Civil Defence, the GAA, IFA and a number of volunteer groups and agencies. At its root is the COVID-19 Community Support Helpline, 1-800-928-982, which has been operational from Monday the 30th of March from 8am to 8pm, 7 days a week. Up until the 1st of June, there had been 709 contacts, 185 of them related to medical or health needs, 81 were categorised as being in the area of collection and delivery of food, essential household items, fuel and medication, and 66 relating to social isolation, supports and engagement. 35 were in connection with meals and their delivery, and 12 were Garda related. The remaining 330 contacts related to a number of other areas, including volunteering, payments and entitlements, medical queries, accommodation, transport and funding.
Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue has formally entered the race to be the next president of the Eurogroup. The group of finance ministers from countries that use the euro has a lot of sway over European monetary policy. Spain's finance minister is thought to be Pascal Donoghue's biggest competitor. If he is to contest it, though, he will need to remain finance minister after this week's discussions around government formation. It's still not clear whether or not the three potential parties in the coalition will approve the programme for government. If it does, the Dáil will meet on Saturday to elect a new Taoiseach, set to be Micheál Martin. Almost €200,000 in supports have been approved by Údaráis na Gaeltachta to assist Gaeltacht businesses in Donegal to counteract the effects of COVID-19. Nationally, significant supports of over €500,000 have been approved by Údaráis to support businesses. Michaela Clark has more.
The money has been sanctioned under the online trading and COVID-19 business continuity voucher schemes, which were announced in recent months. There was a considerable demand for both schemes from Gaeltacht SMEs to assist them in boosting their online trading capabilities and in developing business development strategies for the future. In the Donegal Gaeltacht area, supports totaling €187,500 were approved for 75 businesses. 38 applications were approved for the online trading scheme, while 37 business continuity vouchers were approved in the county. The majority of Donegal applications approved were for businesses in the services, food and drink, tourism and manufacturing sectors. In a statement, Michael Heaney, Chief Executive Officer, Údaráis na Gaeltachta, said these support schemes are giving small businesses throughout the Gaeltacht the chance to survive the crisis, to find new markets and opportunities for their innovative services and products.
Meanwhile, small business owners say the Irish public can save jobs in their own communities by spending a little extra for the next 12 weeks. They say this summer will be make or break for many employers all over the country after the lockdown ends. With more, here's Stephen Burke.
The lifting of the pandemic restrictions is coming as a big relief for boutiques, salons, hairdressers and small shops all over Ireland. But many have seasonal stock to clear and their cash flow is on a knife edge. Today, trade groups in the sector are launching a plan called Champion Green. They say if every adult in the country spends that extra €20 locally for the next 12 weeks, it will mean an economic boost worth €875 million. Marion O'Gorman from Kilkenny Design says it doesn't quite matter how it's spent as long as that money stays local.
That's all we're asking people to do. It's not €20 on things, it's €20. It can be food, cafe, pub, extra even in the supermarket.
Evian Garrahy's family runs boat tour businesses in Dublin and Clare. With a huge decline in the tourist numbers coming from overseas expected, she says they're banking on Irish people taking up the slack.
Even family members have never been out onto Dublin Bay or have never seen the Cliffs of Moher from the sea up, have never ventured to the Aran Islands, so now is as good a time as any.
The retail sector alone employs 280,000 here, and the trade groups backing Champion Green say that €20 a week could keep major job losses at bay.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GAA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past 5 o'clock, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with some soccer news, and the Mars Irish report into governance matters at the FAI has been handed over to the Gardaí. The global auditing and consulting firm was commissioned with the investigation in March of last year. The report has been referred to the Office of the Director of Corporate Enforcement. The ODCE are still investigating the COSAI audit into the FAI released last year. Well, Liverpool's 30-year wait for another top-flight title could come to an end tonight. Jurgen Klopp's side will be crowned champions if holders Manchester City don't win at Chelsea. Ronnie Rosenthal was part of the last Liverpool squad to finish as the top team in England back in 1990. He's sure supporters won't mind waiting a little longer.
They are young fans, they don't remember what happened 30 years ago. So all Liverpool fans all over the world will joy, whether it will be tonight, or in another game, or in another two, or in another three. What's the difference?
Well, City's game at Chelsea tonight kicks off at 8:15. Meanwhile, it's confirmed today that the Etihad Stadium will host City's meeting with Liverpool, even if the title is still at stake. At 6 o'clock, Arsenal's search for their first win since the Premier League's resumption takes them to Southampton. Irish striker Shane Long is expected to return for the Saints, who could go level in points for the Gunners and move into the top half of the table with a victory at St Mary's. Their manager is Ralph Hasenhüttl. He knows his side will need to be at their best to do that.
I think we showed last week that we are quite good in our physical shape, but Arsenal, they have so much quality in front, and especially with the ball, it's a fantastic team. So we must be very good organised, very concentrated, and then we have a chance.
Also at 6, Burnley play host to Watford tonight. The Ulster Senior League hope to resume their season in the middle of next month. At a meeting held on Wednesday night, the league decided to complete their 2019-20 season beginning on the 18th of July. But that is only if the League of Ireland continue with their underage programme. Finn Harps and Derry City use their under-19 players for USL games, and should the FAI not resume the underage campaign, the current Senior League season will be rendered null and void. If that is the case, the league would start the 2021 season in mid-August. A provisional set of fixtures have been drawn up, which may change. Meanwhile, Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan expects Harps to resume their campaign in late July in Dublin. The Finn Harps side return to collective training this week.
No, not quite there yet, Oisin, but certainly down the road of trying to get things up and running and getting started. Look, it looks like there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that we'll be back playing on the 31st of July. We expect to be away to Intella, to Shamrock Rovers, where the league initially was stopped in the middle of March, to put it that way to you. But we've a lot to do, basically on and off the pitch, to put it that way to Oisin, but we're getting there. But yeah, you know, we don't, it's not that long between now and the 31st of July, but it's good to be talking about that and good to be getting back on the pitch and you know, that type of way.
And you hear more from Ollie Horgan tonight on the Score programme, which just airs after the 7 o'clock news. I'll also be speaking to Register and Vice Chairman of the Donegal Junior League, Nigel Ferry. They, of course, confirmed their restart date for mid-July earlier this week. In cycling, the Donegal Ultra 555 was rubber-stamped by Cycling Ireland this week to have their event now take place on Friday, the 28th of August. I'll be joined by race organiser Sean McFadden. And the GAA clubs returned to pitches on Wednesday. They are now awaiting the finalised club fixtures in the coming weeks. We'll hear from St Union's chairman John Harn. It's all part of the Score programme tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. County Tyrone man Conor McKenna has tested negative for COVID-19 for a second time, as Australian Football League club Essendon has revealed. His negative tests on Tuesday and Wednesday follow positive swab tests for coronavirus last Friday and Saturday. Essendon play arch rivals Carlton on Saturday, and while McKenna continues to be in quarantine, this could change. On the golf front, Rory McIlroy is currently a shot off the lead on the opening day of the Travelers Championship in America. With one hole to play in his opening round, he's 6 under par. Shane Lowry's just a shot worse off at 5 under at the 16th, while Canadian Mackenzie Hughes was heading up the field at 7 under. Ulster's Heineken Cup quarter-final will be played in mid-September. The 1999 winners will meet Toulouse on the weekend of the 18th to the 20th of September, with the two semi-finals set to take place a week later. Leinster, of course, are also involved in the quarter-finals. They're facing Saracens, and that will be played the same weekend. Finally, we go back in time, 30 years ago today, in Genoa, Italy.
Timofte against Bonner. The big man from Donegal has set it up for a victory.
Aki Bonner, of course, making that save against Romania to send Ireland through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup in Italy back in 1990. David O'Leary, of course, followed it up by hitting the penalty. He played his part as well. And it was another huge adventure in the history of Irish soccer as Ireland took over Italy. That's it, Donal. Don't forget the scores on tonight later after 7, and I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much indeed. Oisin, it's 22 minutes past 5 o'clock. It being a Thursday means it's time now for Farming News and Views. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, this evening our main focus of attention is renewable energy. Irrespective of who forms the next government, we are going to see considerable growth in the green energy sector. Pat Smith, a former General Secretary of the IFA, is someone who many of our listeners will be familiar with. Nowadays, he is the Managing Director of Local Power Limited, which specialises in the installation of solar PV panels, many of them on farms. I've been speaking to him, and I began by putting it to him that solar energy is not something we associate with Ireland and Donegal.
Chris, certainly if you were to say 5 years ago to somebody that you can generate electricity from daylight and sun in Ireland, they'd be checking your temperature. But solar PV actually works very well in Ireland. The climate suits it very well. The likes of Donegal, you have further north, you have longer day lengths. The generation from solar is very predictable. So south-facing roof, you'll get the highest production. And the further south you are, you'll get obviously more production. But east-west facing works very well also, especially for self-consumption, which is the market I believe is going to grow in Ireland.
Now, it's commonplace all over Europe and other parts of the world for members of the farming community to utilise buildings on their land for the installation of solar panels, and that's something we're going to see more of here.
Certainly, and I hope that the rural political leaders and farm leaders are actively working to try and ensure that at last Irish farmers get the opportunity of using the roof space to put solar PV on, generate electricity and make an additional income for the farm. I think it's a no-brainer. We estimate that there's enough roof space in Ireland to put 3,000 megawatts of solar PV on. Every other farming community in the UK and right across Europe has benefited from decent supports that makes it economic for this to happen. And I hope that this is prioritised with the new government and that we have something in place before the end of the year.
Just to explain to people, it's one thing to be able to generate power, but if there's a surplus there, and this is one of the most important points, you want to be able to put that surplus into the network, the national network, and maybe receive an income from us. So how does that all actually happen?
Yeah, currently most people who put solar on the roofs, and there's a lot of homes doing it, there's a lot of businesses doing it, and there's a lot of farms doing it. The focus is on self-consumption. So the energy that's generated is either used in the building if there's a high energy demand, or it can be diverted in a home, for example, to heat water if you have an immersion in the home. It can be diverted to a battery storage, and then that battery discharges in the evening when the solar is no longer generating, or it can be diverted to electric car charging. But the opportunity, I believe, is that on top of installing solar PV for self-consumption, that the rules are changing, and under EU legislation by this time next year, there will be a feed-in tariff, and utilities are going to have to buy surplus energy generated by microgeneration from consumers. We don't know what that price is, or we don't know what the economics are, but we know that that is being actively progressed by the policymakers at the minute.
So in very simple terms, you will be rewarded for that surplus energy?
Yes, and the extent of the reward is the key issue. In most other European countries, they made that tariff high enough so that it was economic for people to invest into solar PV.
In terms of the payback time, obviously there's a capital investment, and if there are increased grants that'll shorten the payback time. What's the current situation and in terms of grants, and what's available out there for somebody who is interested in this?
Currently, there's a grant of up to €3,000, which in a lot of cases equates to between 25 and 30% of the investment cost. For farms, you have the option of a TAMS grant, which is up to 40% and 60% for young farmers. And for businesses and farmers, just the other option of a Better Energy Community grant, which is a 30% grant. The other benefits from a business or farming perspective is that the VAT is refundable for a renewable investment, and that the full investment can be written off against tax in the year in which it would, of the purchase, under accelerated capital allowances. So there's quite attractive grants and there's quite attractive tax benefits to solar PV.
Do we have any idea in the country at the moment how many farms do have some solar PV panels?
I would say it's small. It's just starting. Last year, I would have put solar on about 30 farms. Now, I'm not the sole guy in the business, so I assume there's other farms have put solar PV on as well. This year, I expect to do about 50 farms, but it's my contention that if the right supports are put in place, that every farmer in the country will have solar PV.
So potentially a huge market. For somebody who's interested, the installation of them, it's done in a modular format, so you may do some now and you can add on in years to come.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. And indeed, that's what I'm recommending on a lot of farms, is to take a two-stage approach to solar PV with an initial investment to generate enough energy for your farm, business and or your home. And then in stage two, to expand that, if it's economic to do so, with the export tariff, and to use more of that generation to displace bought-in energy. So I think a staged approach is the right way to go.
And by way of example, before we came on air, we were talking about a farm in Kerry that you had done some work on. Perhaps you could elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I've done projects right across the country, and typically in a home situation, if you size the thing correctly, you should be able to generate between 50 and 60% of your own electricity. In a farm situation, depending on the type of farm, you should be able to generate in the initial stage one process between 20 and 40% of your own electricity. And in stage two, if there's a feed-in tariff, we should hope to get that up to 60 to 70%. It's all about sizing the thing correctly and ensuring that the economics work for the farmer. And the payback can be anywhere between 3 and 6 years, depending on the technology that the farmer chooses and the size of the system and the price he's paying for energy.
And apart from the individual farmer, do you foresee that we will have, shall we call them more industrial, commercial, large areas of perhaps marginal land that in the future may be converted with fields of solar panels?
Yeah, there's definitely, under the new renewable energy support scheme, there is a percentage of that set aside for solar, for farm solar. And I do see a number of farms being built out, mainly in the south of the country initially. I think that the opportunity for most farmers along the west coast and right up into Donegal is roof space. And possibly, if they're near a big industrial energy user, ground mounted for a direct link to that user.
And finally, Pat, if people want to find out more information, obviously there's your own company, Local Power Limited. You have a website, the SEAI, another website. There is a lot of information out there. And over the next 12 months, no matter who's in power, as I say, there is likely to be added incentives.
No doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to doing some projects in Donegal this year that we have in the pipeline. We offer our clients a number of technology options, and we have a policy of being totally transparent. And the one bit of advice I'd give to the farming community, and indeed anyone who's thinking of solar PV, do your homework. There are different technologies, and some of them are cheaper and some of them are dearer. And in the main, there's very good reasons for that. So let the buyer beware and let him do his research.
And that was Pat Smith, former General Secretary of the IFA and who is currently the Managing Director of Local Power Limited. In other news, a price cap of €150 a head has seen Northern Ireland cattle buyers travel across the border to take advantage of a 40 cent a kilo price differential. And this has resulted in the highest number of cattle exported to Northern Ireland for direct slaughter in a decade. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, some 2,647 cattle were exported for direct slaughter in Northern Ireland in the first 3 weeks of June, the highest in a decade, compared to just 274 in the same period of 2019. The ICSA Sheep Chair, Sean McNamara, has called on the Department of Agriculture to publish the number of lambs that have been imported from the North and Great Britain since the beginning of 2020. He claims these imports are causing huge disruption for local farmers who can't even get quotes for lambs while they see truckloads of lambs arriving on UK registered lorries. And finally, IFA President Tim Cullinan has said that the IFA submission on the €50 million scheme for beef finishers proposes a minimum of €100 per finished animal and the payment of funds retrospectively from the date of the minister's announcement. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you, Chris. Weather forecast: most areas will remain dry this evening with a little sunshine. Some thunderstorms will break out, and where that occurs, there's a risk of torrential downpours, frequent lightning and spot flooding. Hail and gusty winds are also possible. The risk of thunderstorms continues through the night. Many places will stay dry, but where the thunderstorms do occur again, there's a risk of spot flooding, hail and lightning. Temperatures not expected to fall below 17 or 18 degrees Celsius in eastern parts tonight. They'll fall to 12 or 13 degrees further west near the coast. Winds continuing light and variable in direction. Tomorrow will be a dry start with sunny spells, but further showers, some of them heavy, will be experienced. Temperatures in the early afternoon hitting the early 20s. It'll become noticeably cooler, though, early in the evening, with winds tomorrow light to moderate. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the main stories in brief this evening, the micro redress scheme will open for applications on Monday next, June 29th. Donegal County Council's redress committee met this afternoon to discuss the scheme. Officials say they're ready to accept applications from Monday. A special portal has been opened on the Donegal County Council website for applications. Full details on our website, highlandradio.com. Tributes have been paid to staff at Letterkenny University Hospital's laboratories. Figures published this evening by CELTA show that after 100 days of COVID-19 testing, almost 6,200 samples have been tested, with results currently being reported within 24 hours of receipt. No new coronavirus cases were reported today. No more deaths were reported today in Northern Ireland. One more case reported north of the border. Total number of cases now 5,724. And the government has been warned against fully opening up air travel. Full news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of June. The death has occurred of Claire Kelly, Convoy Road, Rafoe. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private. Her remains will repose at her residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:45 to St. Eunan's Church, Rafoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice Letterkenny, care of any family member, or Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rafoe. The death has taken place of Mary McNeillis, Castle Goland, Portnew. Her remains will leave her residence tomorrow morning at 10:30, travelling to St. Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to COVID-19 and government guidelines, the funeral and wake are private to family and close friends. The death has taken place of Sadie Long, Riverside House, Moville Road, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are for immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Liam Mulroney, Glencar Scotch, Letterkenny. In accordance with current guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 1 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, can be viewed on the St. Eunan's Cathedral website. Burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of George Crossan, Anna, born in Coola, County Leitrim, and formerly of Clonmany in Ashoan. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, George's reposant funeral mass tomorrow Friday will be private. Inquiries to McGowan Funeral Directors, Drumadh, County Leitrim. And the death has taken place of Chrissy Daly, née Harkin, 6 Springvale Park, Derry. Wake and funeral are private due to the ongoing coronavirus restrictions. Funeral will be held in Sacred Heart Church, Muff, tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, Seven Oaks, Derry.